Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into it, I just dropped my brand new music video for Call the Shots. So you can check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop, or my official website, katietrop.net. Make sure you check it out, because my music videos are always interesting. So take a look-see, and if you're a Britney Spears fan, you might see some little Britney nuggets sprinkled all throughout the music video. So yeah, check it out. All right, and Aaron Judge has yet to hit his 61st home run, and I actually do have the Yankee game on in the background, so it's a very good possibility when he comes up to bat, I might not step away, but I will be paying more close attention to that because I really am interested to see him hit that home run. I always love seeing history, and I actually remember when Barry Bonds did it years ago. It took him for fucking ever to get to 61. So this is just how it is. Like, I feel so bad for these guys because, like, they're all eyes are on them, and you could just tell it's a very tense and anxious situation. And I mean, lucky for Judge, his team has clinched a playoff spot, and they won the AL East. So he doesn't have to worry about that aspect of it, but he still has the pressure of hitting 61 because, you know, not only does he want to hit 61, but you know everybody's staring at him right now wanting to see him hit 61. So there's a good possibility that might happen while we're on air, and if it does, you will hear my ass talking about it. But anyways, let's get into football. Let's talk about the Monday night football game. My Dallas Cowboys beat the New York Giants 23-16. It was a very boring first half, I'll say that much. It was only, 6-6 or 6-3 going into halftime. So it was very uneventful. And but then the second half, they finally picked it up. But I really got to say, man, this Cowboys defense ain't nothing to fuck with. DeMarcus Lawrence had 3 sacks. Stephon, that's his brother. Diggs, he had an interception to end the game. But a real standout to me, Micah Parsons also had a good game. He didn't get any sacks, but he actually had this huge play where he just pushed over the offensive lineman and was able to fuck with the quarterback a little bit. But then also it was kind of like he scared an offensive lineman into a false start. So he definitely made some big plays, even though he didn't have any sacks. But DeMarcus Lawrence, he had the 3 sacks. But the player I really wanted to point out, and who I've really enjoyed watching in every single game so far this season, is Donovan Wilson, number 6. Dude is everywhere. He had 9 tackles and a sack in this game, but he seems to be in on every single play. There was that stupid penalty that they called against him, but I just think that was more of a kind of a misunderstanding. I don't think he realized that the football was being thrown to the official, but whatever, he was called for a stupid penalty. But other than that, he has been having a phenomenal season, and I really like what I've seen from him. Cooper Rush, he's just been doing what he needs to do. He's been a game manager. He went 21 for 31, 215 yards and a touchdown. So he just needed to do what he just did what he needed to do. Then the ground attack is very balanced, and I really like what I see from it. Pollard had 105 yards, but Zeke also had 78 yards and a touchdown. So that's just a very balanced ground attack, and they both had their moments in the game. Obviously Pollard's the much more quicker back, but I mean, Zeke played just as much a role as he did in getting the Cowboys into scoring position. And then CeeDee Lamb, his first half was awful and very forgettable. I mean, he dropped this wide open pass that he probably should have had for a touchdown, and even he knew it. Then he had a couple other drop passes in the first half, but he more than made up for it in the second half. He ended up with 87 yards and a touchdown, and the touchdown catch he made was just fucking phenomenal. It was just one of those behind-the-back catches, one-handed catches, and he just looked great doing it, and he really needed to do that because us Cowboys fans were not happy with those drops. So shout out to him to show up when it counted the most, in that, because that's where you need to show up. So it was a good win from the Cowboys all around. Like I said, defensively, that's what carried them, was the defense. And the offense did just enough to get through. The Giants, offensively, they look horrible other than Saquon Barkley. Defensively, they don't have much going on. So it is nice that the Cowboys were able to get this win in New York, 23-16. All right, and now let's move on to my top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. Right now, we currently only have two teams left in the NFL who are undefeated, and those are my top two teams right now. There really isn't much separating them. And so let's get it started with number one on my top 10 NFL power rankings this week. I have the Miami Dolphins, who are 3-0. The reason why I put them number one is because their wins they've beaten really good teams. You know, they just beat Buffalo 21-19 in a close battle. But then they also beat the Ravens the week before. So they've beat two legit teams because they're too legit to quit, like MC Hammer. But they've beat some really good teams. Offensively, they look really solid. Tyreek Hill's just fitting right in with them. But Jaylen Waddle, he's having another great season also. So just offensively, I really like what I see from the Dolphins. And they are number one this week on my NFL power rankings. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. There was no way I was putting them number one, even though they are 3-0. And hey, they're a legit 3-0. They played a solid game this week. They beat the Redskins. They beat the Redskins football team, Commanders. They beat them 24-8. The defense had 9 sacks on Carson Wentz, so they just really dominated. But Jalen Hurts has really just been carrying this team. Currently, he has 916 yards and 4 touchdowns on the season. I didn't write down how many rushing yards he has, but he's also been killing it on with his legs as well. So he's just really carrying this team. It's going to be interesting to see if they're able to keep it going as the season goes on. But, I mean, hey, they're 3-0, and even my hating ass couldn't figure out a way to drop them in my top 10, but hopefully they'll lose next week, and that will drop them all the way out of the top 10, maybe. Maybe we'll see. All right, and then number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Buffalo Bills. They're 2-1. They're coming off of a difficult loss against Miami. But Josh Allen, he is just having an MVP season so far. He's passed for 1,014 yards and 9 touchdowns. He's also carrying the team on the ground as well. And just overall, the Bills are just probably the head and shoulders the best team in the league. Defensively, they've got it locked in. Offensively, they got it locked in. Their ground attack is probably their biggest question mark. But at this point in time, I don't think it's going to be anything that keeps them out of the playoff hunt. I've got the Bills at number three this week. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Baltimore Ravens. They are 2-1. They are coming off of a big win against New England this week. They won 37-26. Lamar Jackson, he is having an MVP season. And I mean, I know it's tough to say that already with 3 weeks into the season, but he currently through the air, he's passed for 749 yards and 10 touchdowns. And on the ground, he's rushed for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's just doing some crazy things. He's really carrying this offense. Most of his receivers are just a bunch of no names. So he's really turning them into actual names that we know. Defensively, they're one of the best in the league. They're playing some great defense. It's basically back to old, typical Baltimore Ravens football that you expect. Great defense, great on the ground attack, and a phenomenal quarterback just carrying them through the season. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Green Bay Packers. Currently, they're 2-1 on the season. They got a big win this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes, it was a sloppy win, but hey, you still got the win and you still beat the Bucs. They beat the Bucs 14-12. It was very odd because it seemed like right out the gate that the Packers were going to get it going offensively, but then it really got quiet as the game rolled on. Now, the Bucs do have an excellent defense, and that might have been more of the issue there, but they still got the win. You know, the They still have to work out the kinks with the receivers and Aaron Rodgers. But as the season goes on, I expect them to get better. I mean, you could already see Romeo Doubs in the last couple of games. He seems to be getting it going more. And so, yeah, I got the Packers at number 5. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their overall record is 2-1. They just lost to the Green Bay Packers. I'd say their biggest issue right now are the injuries on the offensive side of the ball, especially that showed this week. I kind of feel like if they would have had at least Mike Evans playing at receiver, they probably would have had enough firepower to score one more touchdown to get the win. So it's really just their injuries that are killing them, at the receiver position and also on the offensive line. But Leonard Fournette, with all the talk about him in the off season, about him gaining all this weight and is he going to even be a good back this year? Well, so far he's really carried this team offensively, and he's made some huge blocks in the passing game, and he's doing great with catching the ball and running the ball. He's just really all around having an excellent season for the Buccaneers. But then also defensively, this defense is one of the best in the league, and you don't hear a lot about them, but they are getting the sacks, they are getting the turnovers. The secondary is really shutting it down. Defensively, they already have 5 interceptions on the season. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think, are just an all-around solid team. And it's really just the injuries at this point that are holding them back. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Los Angeles Rams, overall record of 2-1. This week they played, they got a win against the Arizona Cardinals, 20-12. They pretty much dominated them. The Rams offense hasn't been as explosive as they normally are, but hey, they're still getting the wins. Cooper Kupp, he's having a great season again. He's got 280 yards and 3 touchdowns so far. And, you know, offensively, they've got it going all together. And defensively, they're not looking too bad either. So I've got them at number 7. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 2-1. They're coming off of a bad loss here against the Colts, 20-17. It's really weird because you don't really think a kicker makes a big deal for a team. But Harrison Butker for the Chiefs, it shows that this guy actually is a great weapon that they've had, because their fill-in kicker has really missed some huge kicks these past 2 weeks while he's filling in. As a matter of fact, he was released earlier this week just because he's done so poorly. It looks like they should get Butker back this week. I feel like that cost them a lot in this last game. But also at the same time, their offensive line was not able to hold back that Colts defense. Now, that Colts defense is very good, but Patrick Mahomes was running for his life, and so it's going to be interesting to see if that's kind of the theme of their season when they play teams with a really good defense, if they're going to be able to withstand it, if they got enough firepower, because they used to be able to just kind of default to Tyreek Hill, because when you have Travis Kelce, who's a great weapon, but then you've also got Tyreek Hill, who you could just kind of just throw a little 2-yard pass to, and he could turn it into like a 35-yard gain. They don't have that anymore, and so that's going to be interesting to see if that kind of holds them back in certain games, especially coming up this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the Chiefs have tumbled down in my rankings all the way down to 8. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Minnesota Vikings. They are 2-1 on the season, coming off of a win against the Detroit Lions, 28-24. It was a battle back and forth. The Vikings, I'm not really sold on them yet, but I mean, once you get down to the 10 area, it is kind of hard to find a really solid team. But offensively, the Vikings are a solid team. I mean, Jefferson's an excellent receiver. Then they've got Thielen. And I can't remember the guy. Was it Osborne? Is his name Osborne? I'm almost positive his name's Osborne. He's the other guy. But he had a great game this week as well. So they've got plenty of weapons offensively, even though it looks like they're going to be missing running back this week. They still have a good backup running back. And so I think offensively, they're going to be able to manage. Defensively, they actually don't look too bad. But I've got them at number 9 on my top 10 this week. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings, which I'm kind of shocked they're already in my top 10. But I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are 2-1. They're coming off of a big win against the Los Angeles Chargers this week. They won 38-10. And just offensively, this team is really good. I mean, defensively, they're actually not doing bad either. I mean, they've got a lot of sacks. They've got some turnovers. And they're really holding their ground. I mean, to hold the Chargers to 10 points, it says a lot. But also, Trevor Lawrence, he's having a great season so far. He's passed for 772 yards and 6 touchdowns. And only 1 interception also. So he's really being efficient. Their receivers are making the big plays, and they're getting the job done on the ground also. So offensively, I really like what I see from the Jaguars. I don't know if they're a legit team yet, but hey, they were good enough to make my top 10 this week. But we'll see what happens for them the rest of the season. But hey, they're looking really solid right now. Then just one other little bit of extra news that happened this week in the NFL. Myles Garrett, the defensive end of the Cleveland Browns, he was in a single car accident. He and his girlfriend were in the car, and according to the reports right now, it looks like there was an animal in the road and he had to swerve. And yeah, he ruined his Porsche, flipped a few times. I was actually kind of amazed that a big-ass dude like Myles Garrett can fit in a Porsche, because that guy's huge. I mean, his one arm, like, one of his arms is like my entire body. No lie. Like, when I look at him, I'm like, Jesus Christ, that guy is one big-ass dude, in a good way, too, not a fat ass. Like, he's all muscle. And I was just more shocked that he could fit in a Porsche, let alone drive one. But hopefully that is the case, because, you know, it doesn't look like there was any drugs and alcohol involved. But when you're driving a Porsche, I wouldn't blame you if you were driving a little fast on these rural roads. I've been known to do that myself. I do drive a Mustang, and it's very fun to drive it fast. So hopefully that's not the case. But I also would not be surprised if a animal was out in the middle of the road, because it was a rural area. I also live in one of those rural areas, so I see a lot of deer on the side of the road, so it can happen. But he is they don't know if he's going to play in this week's game. It doesn't look like he suffered any major injuries, just like a shoulder sprain, it looked like. But it's looking like he's going to be like a game time decision, or they won't really know until Sunday if he's going to play or not. But he is okay, and so is his girlfriend. And then we have Thursday night football tomorrow night. We actually have a really good game. The Miami Dolphins at the Cincinnati Bengals. Currently, the Bengals are a 3.5-point favorite. I really like what I saw from the Bengals last week. It looks like they finally were able to get things going, at least offensively. And, I mean, the offensive line is most definitely going to be a problem for them this year. But they were able to make the Super Bowl last year. So we'll see if they're able to maintain some type of level of decent offense with that offensive line. But Joe Burrow, he had a great game. And Ja'Marr Chase, he's had a solid season as well. So offensively, I like what I see from the Bengals. It's the same thing with the Dolphins, though. But since it looks like Tua's got some issues with the back injury right now, I do think the Dolphins are riding high in our that team. That's kind of it feels like they're due for a loss here. And with the Bengals at home and with them clicking on all cylinders on offense last week, I've got the Bengals winning 30-20. And then just one little bit of NFL news that I saw just a bit ago before I started recording the podcast. It is so far in the first 3 weeks of the NFL season, every single game has averaged at least 17.2 million viewers. Every game. That's just insane. And then to top it off, ever since the season started, the top 19 most watched shows on television right now are all football games. So it just goes to show that football is king, and that we are consuming it at higher levels than ever right now because 17.2 million viewers per game. That's crazy. People, it's even 17.2 million are watching the shitty ass Texans games. Like, that should put it in perspective right there. You know, when we've got a game on tap, let's see, let me look at the schedule here. You know, we've got a game, the Seattle Seahawks at the Detroit Lions this week, okay? They're going to average at least 17.2 million viewers. Like, that's crazy to think. And that's a shitty ass game, but they still go get the viewers. You know why? Because us motherfuckers like to watch us some football. But and speaking of football, let's move on to the college football top 10. So this week's top 10, not much of a shakeup, except for yeah, except for the Oklahoma Sooners. You know that loss they suffered against Kansas State on Saturday, knocked them all the way down to 18, which I was very shocked by because, as I said, in Monday's episode, I'm always amused at how highly the AP always thinks of Oklahoma every year. And so it was nice to see them not only get their asses beat this week, but for them to actually tumble in the rankings, as they should have. 18 sounds about right, because, you know, it's only one loss to Kansas State, but it's a hilarious loss. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So it's nice to not see them anywhere near the top 10 this week. So I don't have to talk about them except for the loss that they suffered and me laughing at it. So, I mean, why does Texas never fall into the Gulf of Mexico? Because Oklahoma sucks. Come on, y'all. All right. Anyways, so number one this week. Yeah, like I said, there really isn't much change at all in the top 10. Just a couple of movements really more towards the bottom. But number one, we've got the Georgia Bulldogs, 4-0. They just beat Kentucky this week. I'm sorry, not Kentucky. They beat Kent. I guess we'll just say that's Kent State, I imagine, who they beat 39-22. So they didn't blow the roof off of them, but they still beat them. This week, they're going to be at Missouri. Then at number two, we've got Alabama, who are 4-0 right now, and they just killed Vanderbilt 55-3. This week, they will be going to Arkansas, who are ranked 20 and who have always played Alabama well. So I'm going to call that an upset alert game, just because, like I said, Arkansas, they're legit. And while Alabama is an excellent team, don't be surprised to at least see Arkansas play them well, and I would not be shocked if they actually beat them. Then at number three, we've got Ohio State, a team who I actually really haven't believed in, but now I see why they were on the hype train this year for Ohio State. Their offense is really fucking good. Right now, they're 4-0. By the way, Aaron Judge is coming up to bat, so if it sounds like I'm kind of like in and out, I am in and out because I'm kind of looking at the TV, kind of looking away. So we'll see what happens here. But Aaron Judge is up to bat. So Ohio State is number three. They're 4-0. This week they kicked the crap out of Wisconsin 52-21. And they will be playing Rutgers this weekend. So I expect Ohio State to roll Rutgers. Then at number four, I'm sorry, Aaron Judge is up to bat, and the pitch is it's about to head his way. I'm sorry, I am no Joe Buck, and that it's a ball. So number four this week, we've got Michigan, who are 4-0. They just beat UMD, Maryland, 34-27. That's actually where Tua Tagovailoa's brother is playing. Where he's playing football this year, so it's, and he's actually playing really well. So that's a good watch to be watching Maryland offensively. Strike on Aaron Judge. He swung right through. You could tell this dude really wants to hit 61. We're 1-1 right now. So this week Michigan's going to be at Iowa, and Iowa's always just they're a weird team that they could definitely pull some upset here, but I don't know. I think Michigan's too good right now. And you really don't want to sleep on Michigan. Here comes the pitch. Outside, ball, 2-1. And then at number five this week, we've got Clemson. They're 4-0, and they barely got by Wake Forest, 51-45. And they will be playing NC State this week, who is ranked number 10. So this is going to be a very interesting matchup. Watch out for NC State to possibly upset. Ooh, and we just get Aaron Judge just hit the ball. So we're at 2-2 for a strike. I'm sorry, he fouled the ball. Like I said, I am no Joe Buck. That's very difficult to be a play-by-play announcer, especially when I'm kind of like half looking, half paying attention. But this is a big moment for baseball, for Aaron Judge, and for the Yankees. All right, here we go. Pitch 2-2. Nope. Ball 3-2. I swear to God, if he gets walked, me and these Toronto Blue Jay fans are going to be really fucking pissed off. He got walked so many times last week. All right, then at number 6 this week on the AP Top 10, the USC Trojans, who barely got by Oregon State 17-14, but they are 4-0. This week they will be playing Arizona State. Foul ball again from Aaron Judge. 3-2 count. Then at number 7, we've got the team who's on fire, Kentucky. They are 4-0. They just beat NIU this week, 31-23, and they will be at Mississippi, who is ranked number 14, so this is going to be a big game. Nobody really expected Kentucky to be where they are, and here they are, but I don't know. You might want to watch out for them against Mississippi. All right, here comes the pitch. Oh, nope, he throws it to first base. Then at number 8, we've got the Tennessee Vols. They are 4-0. They just barely got by Florida this week, 38-33, and they will be at LSU next week. They have a bye week this week, so there won't be any movement from them this week, but they are ranked number 8. Here comes the pitch, and another foul ball from Aaron Judge. Then at number 9, we've got Oklahoma State. They were on a bye week last week, and so they will be at Baylor this week, who is ranked 16. This is always a good matchup between the two, Oklahoma State and Baylor. And since Baylor's at home, I'm actually going to be leaning towards them, even though Oklahoma State's coming off of the bye week. But I think Baylor's going to get the win in that one. And then rounding out the AP Top 10 is North Carolina State. They're 4-0. They just got a big win against UConn, 41-10. I'm sorry, here comes the pitch. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's gone. Aaron Judge just hit number 61 live on the fucking air, y'all. He just hit number 61. Aaron fucking Judge just tied Roger Maris, y'all. I was waiting for it. I was kind of hoping it was going to happen during the show, and he just fucking did it. Aaron Judge, number 61. What a great way to end the fucking show. I will talk to you fools on Friday. Aaron Judge, 61 home runs on the season. How about that shit, bitches?